going to start recording.
This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by all the listeners, because we are funded by our listeners, and we are currently in the middle of our Lenten giving campaign, our fund drive, and we humbly want to request your help if it's possible. If you like what you hear, if you want to support us in the production of these shows, then consider joining our giving campaign. You know, any help is welcome. Go over to our main website, sqpn.com, for more information, or go straight to sqpn.com/donate for the page that gives you the information on how you can help out. Nowadays with PayPal, it's very simple to do these micro payments. And if all of us chip in a little bit, then together we can continue. We can make sure that our programs can continue to be produced. Thank you so much in advance for your help. And now let's go to the show.
We keep thinking that people will change. What if that's wrong? What if I'm the one who has to change?
Change how?
I'm going to kill Cora.
Welcome to an epic episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. At least it's about a very epic episode of the series Once Upon a Time. The Queen is Dead. Talking with me about these episodes are the usual suspects: Inge from Groningen, the Netherlands, Shelley and Lisa from Texas, and Deborah Shaben from Nebraska?
Yeah, right now.
I'm just guessing. <That'll work>. Good to have you all on the show again. And wow, what an episode. Don't you think? This was, in my opinion, one of the best of the season. Lisa, what did you think?
I really liked it. Of course, I love Snow, but it gave us some real depth into her character and stuff that we didn't see coming and stuff that Regina didn't see coming. So, you know, it was nice. Though I always hate that they want to take Snow to a dark place.
Oh, well.
That seemed to be a big motivation, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I want her to stay positive and, you know, we talked about last time was, you know, have the hope and see the good in people. And wow, this one was
That was a shocker. It was both. We learn a little bit about young Snow, and then we learn something about current day Snow, and both aspects were very surprising and can have huge ramifications. What about you, Deborah? What did you think of the episode?
Loved it. The last two episodes before, I was kind of feeling a little blah about the second season. I was like, it's all right. But the last two, they've really redeemed my interest in the story. Because, you know, I'm more interested. Snow kind of irritates me occasionally because she's so goody-goody. I'm more interested in Rumpel. I really am. I want to hear what's going on between him and his son, and you know, I'm like, come on, get away from Snow. I want to see what's happening in New York. So that's what happened with me on this episode.
Now, Inge, do you want to go back to New York or do you want to see what's happening to Snow?
Yeah, I was very, very surprised about a twist. I was like, I had a suspicion about how Snow lost her mother, and also because of how Regina became queen. So I had already suspicions about what would have happened, but yeah, the way it was played out, that was surprising to me.
Shelley, is this episode turning too dark?
This episode has me asking so many more questions. I mean, and I love that. I love that we see how Snow became Snow, how she has the goodness in her heart and where that comes from, and how she developed it through her mother. But oh my gosh, when Cora showed up and she made that comment, my mind went crazy trying to figure out the connection between Cora and Ava. They've got to be related in some way, because clearly there's a competition between them. They obviously know each other.
Yeah.
And now I just can't wait. I know there's got to be another episode this season coming
up. Shelley, I think Shelley, some of that will be next episode. I don't want to reveal more. I don't want to get into spoilers,
I do think
is that the one titled The Miller's Daughter?
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay, it's Rump's backstory.
Let's go back to the beginning of this episode and the discussion between Eva and young Snow.
My dear, we are all the same. But I thought we were royals.
We are. But that doesn't make us better than anyone else. When you are crowned with this on your birthday, it will be a symbol that you will always hold goodness in your heart and rule justly. Now, do you understand?
I do, Mother.
Eva seems to be the mother that God wants mothers to be. Like, the perfect mother. She is raising Snow to be generous, to be altruistic, to not think of herself, to not pursue glory and power, but to be there for others. And it's not for nothing that she's called Eva here, because, of course, Eva is the mother of us all, in a way, at least theologically. And all the way in the beginning of creation, that is how God wanted the world to be. At least that's how I see things. He wanted everyone to be altruistic and to first think of others before you think of yourself, because that's what God is. You know, God is all giving, never keeps anything for himself, and so he wants us to be in his image. And Snow has to learn that lesson, because apparently it doesn't really you don't have that automatically. It needs to be taught.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting that she's called Eva, or Eve in English, because from Hebrew, that means life, or living one.
Yeah.
And she's dying in this episode. So.
Yeah, tragic. I was like, wow, we hardly got to know her, and she's dying already? And what does she die from? Does she just have a blood clot or something?
Poison.
Who is poisoning her?
Cora
killed her.
Cora poisoned her. Regina
poisons the father.
They didn't say it until while she was dying, they never said what she was dying from or what was going on. We only found out in the end when Cora spilled the beans.
Mm. Yeah.
The queen, when she's dead,
is lying there, and then Cora appears. Well, poison looks good on you, she says.
Oh, that's, I missed that. I thought she was talking about the flower or something like that. Oh, terrible.
No, and then that standoff, we're jumping ahead a little too far, but that standoff in the clock tower, Mary Margaret realizes that Cora poisoned her mother. And she asks why, and Cora says, I killed your mother so that my daughter could become the queen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and she says this in a way from the, because my mom.
Yes.
I was like,
in Cora's mind, it's like, sweetie, this is what I do for you. See what I do for you?
However,
I kill people so you can be queen. Come on, appreciate me.
You got to think about it for the what? How old do you think Snow is when her mother's dying?
She's supposed to be 11.
12
at the most, right? We'll say 10. And then within the year, the king has gone out and found Regina. And I love the way Regina put the two and two together. Hello. And then, so from 10 until what? 18, 19, 20. For a period of about 8 to 10 years, she has lived with Regina as her stepmother and Cora somewhere in her life. Maybe not for a long time, but some, maybe even just a few years. In her life, because we don't know at what point Regina actually pushed Cora through the glass, through the mirror. We don't know how old Snow was.
She did it on her wedding day.
Yes. Oh, she did do it on the okay. So she did not know Cora. How can she keep saying she knows Cora? She only knew her that little bit then. That's an inconsistency. The writers.
Well, we don't know how long the engagement was.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you have to remember she was rescued by Regina. And then she has this discussion with Cora, and she spills the bean on Daniel. So she knows who Cora is.
Right. And I got the impression that Snow was much younger when she lost her mother from the conversation the king had with Cora or Regina. It's blurry right now. But I did have the impression that Snow was much younger. So I was a little surprised that they had it be quite so close together.
Well, they probably brought – this is the same girl that played her – last year, right, in the first season one. So whether or not they meant to have them close together, it was helpful to have the same child come back and do the
She does a great acting job, by the way. Can I say that?
My husband said, how in the world did they manage to cast a girl that looks so much like Jenny Goodwin?
Yeah.
Yes.
But also,
her facial expressions look just like, you know, Snow White.
And acts so well. I mean, it's a little bit almost of a problem for the actor who portrays Henry. Because he's not on the same level in terms of acting qualities.
But
he had some very cringing lines.
It makes you wonder if Jenny Goodwin coached her.
Oh, perhaps.
Maybe. Cool. Because it was lots of similarities there. Well, and Rena Sofer, who they chose for Eva, they did a great job in casting her because she did come across very sweet and serene. And you just believed that, I mean, they look alike.
And
just,
also
I don't know.
Very noble, very much like a queen. And... yeah, just like the
I absolutely loved that red dress. Can I have that?
Fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, all the clothing was amazing. I mean, the black dress that Snow wears during the funeral. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, they really spent some money here.
They did. And the really way they good. Did the photography where they zoomed in on her, you know, as she assumed her princess role and knelt down there, sat down, and then they zoomed in tight on her. And then when they zoom out, everyone's gone. I thought that was a really striking moment to show her sadness and the passing of time.
Everyone is gone except for Johanna, who has to be one of the most tragic characters. I mean, if this was Star Trek, she would probably wear a red shirt.
Red shirt.
Poor Johanna. She's only being mishandled here all the time. And it's just her ending. Oh, I was like, come on. She deserves better.
How many people didn't see that coming?
No, I did, but I was so upset because I just thought for Snow, it's like, how many times can you get beat over the head?
They turn her heart as black as coal and she becomes bad because that's what Cora wants.
That was the reason that Johanna is portrayed as being so good and so almost a substitute mother.
Right.
And then that is the, what is it, the thing that broke the camel's back?
The straw.
for Snow, it is. It's like losing her mother again. And
I was under the impression that she was raised by Johanna when her mother died.
Probably.
After her mother died.
Probably.
That's what it seemed like, that she filled in for her as mother.
It was so terrible.
So I have to say, it was nice. I'm a Downton Abbey fan. So it was really nice to see, I can't remember the actress's name though. Mrs. Patmore,
Oh, yeah? Is she in Downton Abbey?
It's such a different role for her from Downton Abbey to be Johanna. So it was really nice to see the actress do something different.
I don't know. It wasn't that different a role. She played a servant, but she didn't cook.
Well, but she was very, very sweet and nice and nurturing. And that's not necessarily her role, you know, as Miss Patmore.
That's true.
The way she acted made her very much a Disney character. Like
Mrs. Potts.
Well, Mrs. Potts, and you know what? This is going to sound odd, but if you look at The Little Mermaid, there's a scene where the housewoman who looks after Prince Eric looks exactly like this character.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're right.
And I'm like, you're sitting there talking about it, and all I see is her in The Little Mermaid, is this character in The Little Mermaid. But that's very traditional of Disney to do that, is to make kind of this, you know, very, you know, dowdy kind of woman to take care of these children.
So Father nailed it. It's a typical Disney character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, the kind of what you envision as the, I would say, grandmother or the nanny.
Yes.
Or the, you know.
Mm-hmm. The only difference
happy,
is that in Disney
loving.
Movies, they survive. They don't get killed like this.
Yeah.
It's traumatic.
I thought it would be much better for them to squeeze the heart.
Aren't you just screaming at Snow? Dude, she's not going to let her go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just kill her. Just kill her.
Kill your mother. I mean,
don't give her the dagger.
Give in. Of course. Okay, let's back up. The fact that Mary Margaret and David wanted to find the dagger first. Dude, are you kidding me? The moment you find it, Cora and Regina are going to pop up and take it from you. Did you not see that?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was kind of like those slasher movies where they go, let's go into the dark garage. Like, and stand there and say, hello?
No.
Hello?
But did they really have a choice? Because if they wouldn't have done anything, then Cora would have had free reign to go after that dagger. So they...
She might not have been smart enough to find it, though.
I think the
hiding place was brilliant.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Deborah.
No, I remember maybe it was season one or early in season two where we were like, why is what is Gold doing out with a shovel out in the middle of the woods? Mm-hmm. Now we know.
Mm-hmm.
He was digging up his dagger and hiding it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit. I was watching that where Korra is just standing while Regina is digging in the dirt. I was like, oh, great, Mom. Why don't you help out your daughter? Especially because you can't use magic to do this.
Yeah, that was they
both can.
Yeah. Wasn't she wearing like thigh boots and a dress out there digging? I mean, wasn't she wearing just something really? Because I was watching that quick. Y'all should be digging. I mean,
this was called the CGI budget didn't allow enough for that little bitty scene of them throwing dirt around.
Probably,
they used it all for her to swirl the.
I guess so too. Well,
I have a question real quick. So Mr. Gold, he's been injured. We haven't discussed it yet, but he's been, you know, basically what are you going to do? Go confront him and stab him in the heart with your sword. Well, I prefer my hook, but he's been stabbed in the heart with a hook. There's incurable poison that can only be cured by magic, which means he has to return to Storybrooke.
Yeah.
So he comes back to Storybrooke just in time for the dagger to be used against him. So he can't come back to Storybrooke, but he'll die. Or he comes back to Storybrooke to be cured, but then he'll be controlled. And he was convinced by Emma to give up the location of the dagger. He's got to learn to trust somebody. What about family? So he trusts his new family. And what happens?
Yep.
He's never going to trust anybody again.
Let's listen to the moment where a hook stabs Rumpelstiltskin.
You took Mila, my love, my happiness. And for that, I now take your life.
Gold, are you all right?
The hell is going on?
One of your dad's enemies found us.
Hook.
You know him?
That last thing is so important, I think. You know him? And that is, later on, we get that same question. So, wait a minute. Hook?
I was, I was yelling out.
Balefire? So what were you yelling, Ingham?
I was like, I knew it. I said it in, I think, season one already, that Balefire was Henry's dad and that he also was Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like that,
and I'm on the same wavelength the whole time.
Yeah, and then I was like, when he said, oh, you know him? I was like, I knew it, you're Peter Pan. And I was just yelling at my computer.
I was doing the same thing. I'm like, it's Peter Pan. And my husband's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Now, the writers have not said that there won't be a Peter Pan. The writers have only said they will not reveal Peter Pan this season.
Yeah.
So we know that it won't be revealed, but I don't think it takes more than two and two to figure out that it's going to be Bale.
Especially because he knows how to navigate a pirate ship.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Can I do a little tiny spoiler? It won't reveal much. It's just the last two episodes.
Those of you that don't want to hear spoilers, just close your ears for just 30 seconds.
Close your ears for
seconds.
1 minute. The last two titles of the episodes for this season are Second Star to the Right and Straight On till Morning.
Okay. That's
so.
All right. We will say no more.
No more. Yeah, well, I don't have much more to say about that.
We won't, because that would be spoiler territory.
It's not really spoiler territory. You can look that up on IMDb.
True, but some people just want to be totally in the dark. Well,
that's about as much as I've ever looked up, which is titles of the next episode. Sometimes that's enough just to tell you what it's going to...
Yes, where the story is going.
What the subject will be.
So the tragedy of young Snow, who in being desperate and wanting to save her mother, goes to the Blue Fairy, gets this dark magic, and she's too young to realize that can never, you know, be a true fairy, because fairies don't deal with dark magic. And then later on we see Mother Superior. And she's like, wait a minute, what? And she's not aware of this. So at that moment, you know that it has to be Korra.
Does this candle still around? Because I'm like thinking, you could use that right now.
Who knows?
Yes,
who knows?
I wondered if that would come up.
Oh,
that's what my kids were predicting.
That was what I was predicting. I was like, oh, so somehow there's this candle and now someone is dying and he has to trade it with mm-hmm. someone else's life. So my guess is that she will take the candle, go to Korra, mention their name, and then heal Gold with it.
No, somebody's going to have to sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
That's the redemptive way. Someone's going to have to use the candle to sacrifice themselves to restore life to another.
May I suggest a name?
Okay, go ahead.
Henry, indeed. If you've read the Harry Potter saga,
it'll be Regina. Regina will have to sacrifice her life for Henry.
It's the thing
a mother would do. And she's always trying to prove she's
Henry,
a good mother.
Henry has already, you know, he's been in training for self-sacrifice because at the end of the last season, he did the same thing. He was willing to eat that pie.
But no mother would allow her child to sacrifice himself.
Well, remember,
Emma would stop
Regina.
Regina would stop it.
Remember Regina at the well?
Mm-hmm.
She shoved...
That's right. She took it.
Gold. And she took all of that, remember? And we said she did that for Henry. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And it still didn't earn her any bonus points as a mother, which it should have. But.
Well, I think that the end of this episode is a turning point for Regina, because now Regina knows what it took to make her queen. And she also knows she has a kind of new connection to Snow.
It definitely heals that... That tension, and she has always resented Snow, even though she was able to kind of sidestep it at one point and get over it. But this heals it in the core. Snow was never the problem. It was her mother who set it up, and so now Regina is just as much a victim of Korra as was young Snow. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully that will be enough of a revelation to bring her back to the light side. Because I felt that in these two in this episode and in the previous one, I was like, Regina, come on. Is there really nothing good in you left? You were doing such a great job turning back to the light side. And now you're all evil again. And you let your mother do all this?
She also confronts her mother. So like, you did everything that made me queen. I'm queen now. So why do you need this dagger?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
and I was after Mary Margaret talked to Regina about it. I thought that was a real nice scene too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is definitely something deeper going on. Well, and then Korra, of course, her aim wasn't only to get Regina on the throne. There is something else going on, and we'll probably hear that in the next episode. But there must be incredible hurt in Korra to become this evil. Because that's the logic of the series, right? Evil always comes from hurt. The bigger the evil, the bigger the hurt. And when the hurt is healed, then evil can also, you know, be turned around. Let's listen to a clip of the conversation between young Snow and Queen Eva, or Queen Eve. Basically, the moment that Snow realizes that she could have saved her mother, but she didn't want to because the price was too high.
I'm sorry. I could have healed you, but I was too afraid.
Snow, that wasn't fear. That was strength. Strength to resist darkness. I am so proud of you.
But now you won't get.
We all reach a moment in our lives where we are not meant to get better. And with or without me, someday you will be a great queen.
Amazing scene, this. Both in terms of acting, but also just the contents of the scene. Just having someone... who surrenders to death and it's like welcoming it almost as something that is just part of life. So you can try to run away from it, but you can also embrace it and just, you know, hope for someone else to pick up where you can no longer continue.
Yeah, with the acting, I was like, wow, is this really a little girl acting?
Yeah.
It was so mature.
She was good.
It is amazing.
I remember commenting to my daughter, she should win an Emmy she should be nominated for an Emmy, which is a television award here in the States, for her acting abilities at this, even at this age, because she had us all convinced tears in the eyes and all of it. Just yeah. And Ava, the such a queen. Mm-hmm. I mean, such a good-hearted person, and that's what makes this whole "we've got to destroy Snow" so much more painful for us, the viewers. I mean,
yes, oh yeah, unbelievable. And then just to know that Cora is behind all of this. Ah, she. I never. When she was introduced in the series, I was like, I wonder if she can trump Rumpelstiltskin in evil. But that
yes.
they did such a terrific job just making her so. This is very, forgive me the Star Wars reference, but this is like, we've known Darth Vader and he's the ultimate evil, and then you discover there's the Emperor and he's so much more evil than Darth Vader. How can that be? Well, they do the same thing here. Unbelievable. That, by the way, one more Star Wars reference. I'm just going to quote. I didn't do this. The writers did. "Please, Mrs. Superior, you are our only hope." I will say no more.
And they did that just waiting. For you, Father.
Of course they did. Of course they
I
did.
I got that too. That was funny. I thought, well, of course, Father's now quoting this, so I'm not cutting this piece out.
There is
I have
also,
to wonder, yeah. though, you playing that clip there with Ava and Snow, mm-hmm. is being good like that, I mean, truly, truly good, how much effort does that take? Because I would venture to say that not all of us are that pure and good every moment of every day and every decision that we make from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed at night. I know I'm not. Ask yeah. my kids.
Yeah.
But how much? I mean, that's a really difficult thing to do, and that I think requires some sort of a talent also to be able to put that much thought into every single word that you speak and every single action that you take. And we've seen Snow struggle with it from time to time.
Yeah.
But she always makes the right decision. She always does the right thing. And at the end of this episode, she's feeling the weight of that, of always making the right choice.
Yes.
And where has it gotten me?
Well, that is so brilliant about this episode. We see that it's not natural that she had to learn that. Her mother teaches her that, to be altruistic, to not think of herself, to not make choices based on your own interests, but always think of the good of the country. Or that's ultimately what makes you a great queen, right? So if you always think about your people instead of yourself. And the thing that puts this to the test, and that's what I love about the way this is written, like, you can be good. You're going to be a good person, but you will ultimately prove how good you really are when it's put to the test, and when, you know, you will have to pay a price that you might not be willing to pay for all of this. I mean, good behavior can come naturally. You've got people who are just kind people, but it's much more difficult to be kind if it's tough, if you have to pay a price to do that, if it goes against everything you want. And everything you love. And that is the sacrifice that is being asked of Snow. And here as a child, she can make that sacrifice. But then when she hears the full truth, it's like, this price is too high. I cannot pay it anymore. And she seems to fall because she, you know, is so sensitive. And because of love, basically. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy.
I liked it, the twist, because a couple of episodes ago, there was this sentence where Regina was sentenced to death, and she she basically told Charming, "Yeah, you cannot do this. You can." And he was like, "Yeah, but we need to do this, because if we don't, then you don't know what she's going to do next."
Yeah.
And so, and then it's here, Snow wants to kill Cora, and she basically sums up the same rationale Charming had when they were discussing what to do with Regina after capturing her, and now Charming is saying the same things Snow said in the first situation.
Yeah, it's basically almost regretting the good choices that you've made, and thinking, you know, if I had not been so generous, then perhaps I could have prevented so much evil. But that is, of course, the ultimate moral seduction, is to use evil to prevent greater evil, which in at least in Catholic ethics is never good. It's never an option. You cannot try to prevent evil by committing a crime. It's the wrong logic, but it's so hard to continue to believe that if it's, you know, it's such an easy thing to say, well, I can do a little bit of evil and it will save me so much trouble in the future. Well, let's see what evil really looks like in the bell tower of the library.
Enough of this. Surrender the dagger. We all know you'll follow your mother's example no matter the cost. All she ever wanted was for you to be good.
Those words, where did you hear those words?
Where do you think?
The Blue Fairy made me swear never to speak of that candle again. Not because it was a secret. Because it wasn't her.
The dagger, dear.
She didn't give me that candle. You did. My mother wasn't sick at all, was she?
Oh, she was quite sick.
You did all of this. You killed my mother.
Actually, the candle would have worked. You could have saved her.
But you knew I wouldn't. Why? Why did you take her from me?
To make my daughter the queen.
Pum, pum, pum.
This is just a heart-wrenching episode. And I don't mean that in the pun intended.
In a positive way.
It was very tragic and
very emotional.
But did you see Regina's face when this was going on?
Yeah.
Conflict. She was all staring at Cora in disbelief.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here Regina has always thought that Daniel's death was because of Snow. If it hadn't been for Snow, Daniel would have survived. And it was this poor child who couldn't keep a secret. And now she learns that it was all really, truly triggered and started by her mother. Her mother killed, and she had always loved Snow, the child, before, and now we know the truth.
And it'll be interesting to see. It's not going to be an automatic, oh, mother, what have you done? It's more of a laying that foundation, planting the seed for her to not be under her mother's spell, yeah. You know, to come out against her.
See her mother from a different perspective.
Right.
Let's listen to that conversation when they're back in the black and white room or the what is it, living room?
That's her office, I think.
Her office, yeah.
Yeah, that's her mayoral office.
And Cora is just taking her place. It's like, okay, that's nice to be back. And yeah, definitely not really giving her daughter much space to breathe.
No.
Let's listen.
What is it, my love? You're troubled.
You never told me about your history with Snow's mother.
I spared you that burden, like any good parent would do.
I deserve to know exactly what it took for me to become queen?
Now you know.
That day at the stables, when I rescued her, that wasn't an accident. You made sure I'd be in the pastures when Snow rode past. You had to make sure when I met Snow White, her father would be searching for a new queen.
And what does this knowledge change for you?
You won, Mother. I am the queen. And if that's what you wanted so badly, why do you need Rumpelstiltskin's dagger now?
You're worried my interests are no longer aligned with yours.
She can only think in terms of interests, right? It's all about power in her worldview.
Yeah, just like Snow already said to Regina. Mm-hmm. So she must have thought about that conversation with Snow.
And there's an underlying theme in this episode, which is all about truth and lies and what will ultimately win you the most. You know, Cora has been lying her entire life. She's been lying to everyone, including to Regina, her own daughter. And she seems to win. That's basically Regina's conclusion here. You won. So it pays off. And that is also what Snow realizes. Like, who cares about the truth, she says, if it makes you lose everything. And then you have the same theme playing between Henry and Emma. It's like, Emma has, in a certain way, not been telling the entire truth to Henry. And whereas Henry is like, I could have taken it. It's very similar to one last Star Wars reference. The conversation between Luke Skywalker and the ghost, ghost Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, you could have told me the truth. Truth is just but a perspective on things.
What is truth? You know what was interesting to me, Regina, when we thought that Regina was starting to redeem herself, it's because of Henry, because of her love for Henry. She has an unconditional love for her child,
yeah,
or the boy that she has raised as her child. And that seems to be honest and true. And what she's realizing now is that her mother does not have that same love for her. She may think she does, but she doesn't. And her mother, this meeting she has with Mary Margaret, Regina and Mary Margaret, Mary Margaret knows exactly what to say to get Regina to start thinking about it. And that is that Cora doesn't care about Henry. Cora only cares about Henry as far as she can use him to, yeah, gain power, whatever it is she wants. She'll use, mm-hmm, anything. And Regina makes that horrible, nasty, stabbing comment about what do you know about mothers, which I thought was a little out of place here, but it was effective. But Regina loves Henry. And as this continues to build, I think she's starting to look at her mother. She's back in her mother's wings and influences, but I think she's starting to look to see. So when Henry returns, this episode, next episode, whatever, it's going to be very interesting to see how Cora reacts towards him.
Yeah, it's also, yeah, interesting because you said, well, that's was maybe a necessary, or do you know about mothers? But I think it has to be, it is part of this rivalry between Snow and Regina, because when was it, two episodes ago, when Regina knocks on Snow's door to ask where's Henry, and then she at one point says, well, I don't think Emma needs to run everything by you. Mm. And we also said that maybe it wasn't necessary, but I now think that maybe that's kind of the rivalry between both of them.
Yeah. Well, and the line did set up us learning about Mary Margaret. I mean, Snow and her mother and their relationship. So it did show us what Snow knows about mothers.
Yes, and it's all leading up to this big finale in this episode where Snow is turning, and it's prefigured in the black dress. I thought visually that was brilliant to show the death of Eva, and then Snow White for the first time. We see her no longer in pink. It's like innocence is lost, and she's there in this dark black dress, prefiguring what will happen into current day Snow, who is turning towards darkness. And you have these little white snow flowers that have been visible throughout the episode. And that was the symbol of Snow. You know, you're so good, and that spirit of goodness is in your heart, and it's stronger than winter. And of course the big question is it? Will it be? Will Snow turn dark or not? And what will that do to the relationship with Prince Charming? Let's not forget about him. We've been feeling that the writers are slowly preparing us for another separation. And I always thought that there would be a separation in space, but now it could be a separation in mindset, in choices, a moral separation, which would be much more dramatic. And then what is Charming going to do to win her back? Wow.
I mean, the last time that Snow went this route, he saved her. He rescued her by sacrifice. He threw himself in front of the arrow to keep her from killing Regina because he knew it would turn her heart black.
Yeah. But now Snow wants to kill Cora. Who wouldn't agree with that? That is going to be the dangerous thing here. Like, everybody hates Cora. She's just killed this nice Johanna, whose name means God is gracious. Well, it's so evil. So everybody's going to encourage Snow. Yeah, do it. You know?
Mm-hmm. New idea. The candle will be Regina holding the candle, and she'll have to say her mother's name to save Henry. Not self-sacrifice. She'll have to sacrifice her mother for Henry.
She loved her father, so I mean.
Well, and the only.
Yeah, but she loved her father. That was the opposite. She's slow.
No, I know, but I just mean. We know she can do it.
She loves her mother, but.
But will she sacrifice Cora?
I think she's realizing she doesn't really. I mean, she doesn't know.
Her mother doesn't love her.
Yeah.
But doesn't Cora say that to Eva when she's dead? I wish that my daughter would love you, me the way Snow loves you.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and then she kind of vows to make Snow's heart black as coal.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to get Bay and Regina together. They could start their own support group of children of dysfunctional parents who are fooled by magic.
Well, and Henry can join too. I mean, he felt abandoned. Everybody has daddy and mommy issues in these shows.
Regina's been used, and she's only just now realizing how much she's been used. And Bay feels abandoned because his father chose magic and power over him. The two of them need to have a real stiff drink.
It could happen. I'm sure grandma has something in her locker.
Granny's cider. There you go.
Well, we in the meantime, we see glimpses of New York every once in a while. We see a bonding going on between Henry and Balefire, aka Neil, which is kind of cool. They seem to be very much getting along. Much to the dismay of Gold, Mr. Gold, of course, who is there panting and almost dying and being poisoned. And, well, Henry seems to be able to conquer what he couldn't and get the love of Balefire, which makes him even more entitled, in his opinion, in his mindset, to kill Henry, right?
And when he snapped at Henry, so at one point, Henry asked, are you okay? And then he snaps at Henry. I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just he's lashing out because he's hurting. And
he's thinking about what this all could mean for him.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't learn what that seer says. Over time, you will learn what can be from what will be.
Yes. And there was actually great speculation going on in the chat room where Mike says, you know, this undoing, what if Gold will sacrifice his life to save Henry at one point? And that could be his undoing.
Ooh, I think he's going to have a whole lot of character development and navel gazing before that's like season 5.
Regina's much closer to that than Gold.
The writers have been known to speed up things.
That's true. Okay, season 3.
They definitely, I mean, you think about this from looking at the writers, they've definitely done a lot of good legwork and groundwork in preparation for the series. I'm so impressed with them and how they've been able to take these fairy tales that we all know and read about and really develop this fabulous drama out of it all. It's amazing. There's no shortage of storylines. There's no shortage of questions.
Yes.
They can answer things and reveal things and still set it up for the next thing coming. And I really appreciate that.
And I really hope that somehow they can win back the audience for this show. I mean, if it takes just moving the show to another time slot so it doesn't compete with all these other great shows, I mean, they have to do it. I think a third season is almost certain right now, but this show deserves more than 7 million viewers. Come on. It's
It could also be, if we go on summer hiatus for this season, mm-hmm. people can have the time to acquire the DVDs, watch the series,
perhaps,
get up to speed, and maybe the third season will have better rates.
I hope so, because you know this isn't Pan Am. This is a show that should absolutely survive for a couple of more seasons. But then again, the ratings are nowadays so important, and they can really kill this show off. But that's not that's that future that I don't want to know about.
Do we know if there's going to be a season 3?
Well,
has it been confirmed?
I read somewhere that it's almost certain. But the future is like a puzzle, my dearie.
Well, as I say, then there's the, not to bring up Downton Abbey again, but then there's the question of will everyone sign back up for season 3?
Oh.
I don't know if you heard about Downton Abbey. They had actors who decided not to renew. And so they had to deal with that. So
if they are good writers, they have a backup plan for every character. That's one thing I learned about Babylon 5, Michael Straczynski, who wrote that series.
That.
And he said, you know, I had a plan B for every character. So anyone could be missed, which is also very nice for negotiations. You know, it's like, oh, we have a backup plan. Leave. We have a solution for that.
We can get it. Done.
I bet that they have for all these characters as well. I think they can write someone out.
But it would change the direct. You know what I'm saying? It would change things. So it'll be interesting to see. They've kind of hinted from the beginning that the main characters might not always stay the main characters. That
everyone
we might
can
have
be missed.
Other people rise, and so. I've always been watching for that to see if they're willing to.
Yeah, well, I think we're at a point. We're at a point where Mr. Gold could totally die. I mean, the same thing's true for Cora or even Regina. They can all, you know, play the self-sacrifice card, do some redemptive story, and get rid of the actor.
Yeah, I have read about a spin-off series about centering about around a Mad Hatter, and they would recast the role in this series. At least there are some rumors about that.
Yeah, not very likely with these ratings, but perhaps in the future. Hey, and speaking of new characters that could take the place of other characters, what about this new character?
Thank God I caught you.
What are you doing here?
I don't know. I got a little worried after talking to you. You can't just say you're leaving town for a while.
Hey, yeah, listen, everything's fine. Okay, I promise.
Right, sweetie. Just tell me what's going on.
Neil.
I'm tomorrow. Emma.
My fiance.
Oops. A little detail that I wanted to tell you.
Hey, I was just so glad they said fiance and not wife. Because every time he started to say, we got to talk. Oh, gosh, he's married.
He's got a
family. Fiance, yeah. Fiance, there's an out. There's an out with a fiance. It's just a promise. It's not a commitment. Sorry.
Oh well, you never know. There might be a happy ending there.
What did you think when you saw Tamara? I was like, oh, she looks a little bit like Tinkerbell.
I was thinking, okay, again with Peter
Wendy.
Pan. I was thinking, what was the princess?
Tiger Lily.
Tiger Lily. That was it. I was thinking, if she walks up and says her name's Lily, I'm all over this.
But it could be interesting if it's Tinkerbell, because of course Tinkerbell is kind of the embodiment of jealousy in the story of Peter Pan. Mm-hmm. And so they're setting up a love triangle with Emma and then Billfire and Tamara. Hmm, that might fit.
I thought it was a very nice moment to see Emma. It was like a gut check for her. How much do I care about this? And you saw that she did care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was important too, because was it this episode where she was saying she didn't have feelings for Neil, and Rumpelgold was kind of egging her on and saying, but I think you do. I think you lied to Henry not to protect him. I think you lied to Henry to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's something behind this whole Tamara, because we know that names are not coincidence in this series, and so her name means palm tree, and there are lots of green objects in Neil's apartment, the green windowsills and all kinds of green stuff.
Thank you. I'm so glad somebody else noticed that, because I had that about Manhattan, all the green and gold that was everywhere in the apartment.
What does it mean?
Those are colors of Tinkerbell. So isn't she depicted
in green dress? Okay.
What did the name mean? I missed that.
Palm tree.
Palm tree. Oh, well, that's interesting.
However,
Neverland
Neverland. She could have come back with him from Neverland.
Yeah. It's portrayed as a tropical island, according to the map.
Yeah.
That you see in the original Disney cartoon.
However, there is also, on the same Wikipedia page where you can read that it means palm tree, a mention of a goddess of rivers and streams that is also called Tamara. So I was like, rivers, streams, water. Didn't we have that rumor about the little mermaid? Little mermaid, water, crocodile, Neverland, something
and
like that.
Tiger Lily.
And of course, Neil's able to steer ships or to sail ships.
Yeah, well, that's because he's Peter Pan. I'm almost convinced of that.
I love that moment. You know how to steer a pirate ship? I was like, yeah.
If he's not Peter, he's a lost boy.
Yeah, because he also said
one that or the other.
It can't be a lost boy. It can't be a lost boy, because it has to be Peter. Why? Because Henry is such a central character, and a messianic figure like that needs to have a cool father. And if it's just a lost boy, it's like, come on.
You can't be one of many. He has to be the person.
It's got to be Peter Pan. If it's not Peter Pan, what are they
just
thinking?
Don't know. The writers might want to be introducing a different, you know, actor. That would be their out. He's just, he chose to leave. He's just a lost boy.
Yeah, but he also says after Gold snapped at Henry, this land is not the first one I visited, because otherwise I would have been hundreds of years old.
Right.
Hundreds of years old. Yes.
That's how they fixed the plot hole.
Okay.
Well, and where was it? He said the best pizza was? See, I didn't take my notes or I would have had that line.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one.
New York pizza.
He's telling him, I guess you're going to tell me the best pizza's here in New York. And he says, no, actually, it's some blah, blah, blah planet Zorn.
Oh, really?
Wow. And then he looks at me and goes, never mind, just kidding, it's New York.
Okay.
Oh. Maybe that is in relation to a comic book?
I need to listen to that.
I didn't catch it. So,
we'll look it up. But that speaking of pizzas, that was the only really cringeworthy moment in this episode. It was like Henry saying, it's like New York pizza, deliciously cheesy, and it doesn't lie.
Oh, yeah, that was just him digging that he's still upset with Emma.
That was one of those, again, kid moments.
No, it was just bad writing and bad delivery.
Of course, my kids go, What does he mean?
Please tell me your 11-year-old wouldn't give you that same line back.
No, I know. That's why I said it's a kid moment.
Mouth, just as easy as, I mean, sorry, but.
It was cheesy, but is this an advertisement slogan or something like that of New York pizza?
He made it sound like one.
Yeah.
He did.
Anyway, let's forget about it. I'm done doing good, says Snow.
Hold on to goodness. It's what my mother taught me. How many more lives is following that lesson going to take away from me?
You can't let Cora make you lose faith in who you are. Someone who does the right thing. No, it's exactly what she wants.
I made the right decision when I stopped Regina's execution all those years ago. When it could have saved us all of this heartache. I made the right decision when I sent Emma through the wardrobe alone, and we didn't see her first steps. I made the right decision when I let my own mother die from Cora's poison.
And we keep beating them.
At what cost? All I want is our happy ending.
That is brilliant writing, because that is what she stands for. It's like that desire for a happy ending. And if that is taken away from her, they take away the essence of the reasons why she does things. If she's no longer convinced that doing the right thing brings about a happy ending, then why would you bother? I mean, and this is very deep, because that is why for Christians, if you allow me to make a little theological sidestep here, that is why Christians believe that this world in which we live is not, that's not just it. There is a future. There is the promise of a future where everything will be healed and there will be no more suffering, no more death, and no more tears. If you take away that promise of a happy ending, everything becomes senseless. I mean, if you're born in a third world country and you only live to, you know, for a couple of years as a child and then you die of starvation, you know, what hope is there for those children? So if you take away that what they call eschatological view of Christianity, you rob it from its relevance. And then basically it also means that whatever you do, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, why would you be good if there is no hope for the future? You know, why would you help people in other countries when, you know, they're still going to die? You know, what good does it do? So it's this whole, and that also determines, you know, justice. If there is no happy ending in the future, then what justice is there left if things go wrong? What justice is there for Ava? You know, she dies prematurely because she's poisoned because evil seems to win. Well, if there is no ultimate reason for that sacrifice, then what good does it do? You know, and that is that kind of the big turmoil, almost existential turmoil that Snow is facing here.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of yelling that to Snow. Like, if you now step away and not stop doing good, then your mother died for nothing. And so that's if I was Prince Charming, I would say that to Snow, because
she has lost,
honor the legacy of your mother.
She has lost hope here, so it seems senseless to continue to hope.
But that's what makes a good story.
Oh boy, yeah. Talk about the last person that you expect to turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, remember how we speculated about Henry becoming dark, but we never thought of Snow becoming dark.
No.
If she's dark, do we have to change her name from Snow White to something else?
Like
Black
what?
Swan.
Swan.
Like, you said turn to the dark side. That, yeah. When during the show we all went Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Snow White, dark mud. Nah, something tells me that's not the right name.
But that was just another little detail. It was very touching to hear how Snow White got her name.
Yeah, it was.
How did
when
she?
Joanna told her that? About how she knew she, what was it they said?
She was born during the harshest winter, so that's why they named her Snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, but she said, I know you can weather anything or something to that effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the cool thing is, Snow has always been our ambassador for hope in the story. Now, if she turns and she becomes the nemesis of Korra, which is very cool, then we have to hope for her. And other people are going to have to pick up that responsibility of keeping hoping for Snow to come back. And I think that Prince Charming, something tells me that Prince Charming is going to do that. He somehow is going to be the one who will bring her back and will, you know.
Or Emma.
You want her to. You want him to because you want him to rescue her.
Yeah.
But I think Emma will play a huge part in restoring her goodness and her hope. It's going to be that mother to daughter transfer of goodness. Mm-hmm. Snow still has so much to teach Emma. Emma's a cynical. Emma's the cynical one.
Yeah.
You know, Charming is the realist. Emma's the cynical. And Snow is the hope and the good. And so good writing. It's all going to come in together, and it's
tables are turning. Well, let's go into spoiler territory at the end of this show. I'm going to play the sneak peek of episode 16 of the second season.
All new next Sunday.
With his power, there's nothing I won't be able to do.
Every fairy tale.
She needs to be killed.
You wouldn't be able to live with yourself.
The dark side.
This is our family. We are going to protect it.
There's no coming back from murder.
And one of their own will perish.
What did you do?
Once upon a time, all new next Sunday at 8, 7 central on ABC.
So Inga, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, they announced a major death. So they said, well, this episode, so the one we just discussed, will feature a minor death. So we have seen that.
Yes.
And next episode will be a major death. One of the main characters will die.
Wow. Could it be? Could it be Gold?
No.
Is that just a wish, or is that knowledge?
And Snow is so after Korra, so I'm like, so she can't die either. So I think it's either, maybe someone sacrifices himself or herself. But
We should look up on IMDb who of the main actors doesn't have a contract.
It could be that they are in the next episode in the flashback, so that doesn't tell you anything.
That's true.
I was reading some spoiler territory on one of the fan sites and about the Miller's daughter, uh-huh. And it said that at some point there will be three scenes with Gold and three different characters that will bring a lump to your throat and make you want to cry. But the writers of the show, Rump is basically their favorite character. So why would they kill off their favorite character? Oh. You know, and this is his backstory. This is, Miller's daughter is at his Rumpelstiltskin's back. It is his story, his fairy tale.
No, I don't know that it's okay. It's his fairy tale too, but I think the episode's going to be a lot more focused on Korra and the relationship, the motivation between Korra and Snow's mother. And I say that, and I'm doing the spoiler thing here. I'm looking at IMDb.com, and I'm looking at the cast list for this episode. Mm-hmm. And the very first one is a young actress named Eva Allen, and she plays a young Princess Ava.
Mm.
Yeah. And then there's a young Korra.
Backstory between young Korra and young Eva.
So there's a young Korra and a young Ava. There's a Rumpelstiltskin, and there's somebody named King Xavier.
Ooh.
So I think they're doing the preview and they're focusing for us on Snow and her potential turn and new desire to kill Korra. But what they're going to reveal to us is what's the connection between Ava and Korra. And I have to speculate, could they be sisters?
Mm-hmm. Oh, ooh, they do. Wow.
I mean, yeah, they all got that dark hair.
Yes.
Or, I take that back. What if, What if Ava is the one that marries the king?
That's what I was thinking. That she wow, got the king.
Cora was just the Miller's daughter, and she's the one that had to have Rumpelstiltskin help her, but then she didn't get to marry the king. So it's a twist on the Rumpelstiltskin fairy tale.
Ooh,
where the Miller's
like
daughter
that.
Never did get to marry the king.
I like that.
But Ava did. And that's
Ava did.
And Regina is... No, that's not weird. Okay, I was thinking, and Regina is also a sister to Snow.
No, because I was thinking they were related, but what if they're not? What if they were rivals for the same king?
Mm-hmm.
What if they were rivals
Makes
for
sense. Makes sense.
Snow's father?
Oh, I like where this is going. There's only one way to figure this out, and that is to watch the next episode. Well,
no, that one's good.
I predict Snow will kill Cora, and that will turn Snow... Officially, the dark side split her.
She might become the next dark one.
I think that it's going to,
cool
change
would that
her
be?
Character. Yeah, I don't want that to happen though.
No, but
but Snow can,
can
be
you
the
imagine?
Next dark one. Yeah,
the opposite of Snow White is like the dark one.
Yeah,
we'll see. No. Well, it has me on the edge of my seat at least. Lisa, where can people find you on the internet if they want to?
Shelly and I blog together at Sound Mind and Spirit, and it's soundmindandspirit.com.
Excellent.
And we talk a little bit about life and our faith and whatever else is going on.
Future popes?
You know, we haven't talked much about that. We talked about the past pope. We haven't talked any about the future, but we shall see next week.
We do have a cardinal, though, that's there. Cardinal DiNardo from Galveston, Houston Archdiocese is
he's
going to be in the conclave.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A pope from Texas. That Wouldn't would that be the first.
Then he starts Urbi et Orbi with howdy, folks.
Only our cardinal is not from Texas. He's from Philadelphia originally.
Okay.
Right.
Interesting. His name will be Rocky the First. Deborah, where can people find you on the internet?
I am on iPilgrim Podcast. That's iPilgrimPodcast.com. And I have a few other places too, but that's probably the best place to find me.
Excellent. And Inge, do you do anything on the internet?
Yeah, I rumor has it I'm a producer for SQPN. So
a very good one.
Thank you. If you want to see what I do, I'm writing stuff for the front page of SQPN and also posting lots of memes and other stuff on the Facebook page of SQPN.
Excellent. So just...
Oh, can I interrupt first of all?
Absolutely.
Father, your meme today that you posted on Facebook was hysterical.
The one with the, what is it, Comic Sans?
Yes. I just started laughing. Okay. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's a little inside joke. If you want to see all those memes, just follow us on Facebook and go to sqpn.com for more information. And that is also where you can go to find out more about our current giving campaign. I know that a lot of you are like, I just want to listen to podcasts and don't bother me with that. But really, we've been able to do this for 8 years now because some of you are so generous to help us out a little bit. So if you think our podcast is worth, you know, saving some money that you'd normally spend on a cup of coffee at Starbucks, go over to sqpn.com/donate. Thank you so much for your support.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.